Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of Galatians chapter 6, we were taught that the thrill of pleasing God will far outweigh all of the rejection and criticism of the world. Let's continue that thought today. It is to see if there be any wicked way in me, in order to let that bone, remember verse 1, restore had the idea to set a bone, but to get that bone set the way it should be set. If we would criticize self in this manner, then we would be less likely to criticize others. If we'd measure ourselves as we would measure others, then we'll be less likely to criticize others. You see, the spiritual man who would restore others is not only walking in the Spirit outwardly, but he recognizes the real enemy. That real enemy seeks to turn him against his own brethren by building up pride. We think of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, for such are false apostles. And again, we see that word deceitful. Deceitful workers. You see, if it was easily detected, then it would not be deceitful. That's why you have a pastor. He is to be a watchman. Now, I don't enjoy when people are getting mad at me, thinking I'm crazy. He's lost it. He's gotten old. And particularly when they invent stories against me. But the thrill of pleasing God should far outweigh their rejections and their criticisms. You see, you can only be joyful if Jesus Christ is the object of your desires instead of man's applause, and therefore your will has been lost in his. So again, 2 Chronicles 11, 13 through 15 says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, understand, Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, trying to use scriptures. That's how he got Eve. Trying to use the scriptures. Hath God said? Well, now that couldn't be real. And oh, Satan loves to use the scriptures. And today, he even uses that when we talk about worldliness from the scriptures and not to be conformed to this world. And we're to forsake the old things of this life there. He's not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust. And we're to put off the old man. And when we read those various scriptures on those things, people have redefined it. And they allow the culture to say, well, those things are no longer evil. Those things are no longer bad. But my friend, if it was sin 30 years ago, I believe it's still sin today. Now, again, as we look at that, you can see a pride also that develops in a Christian. again. They thought themselves to be something when they're nothing. So he's saying, prove your own work. Prove your own work. See, the Christian who has the attitude of, well, if it wasn't for me, oh, this wouldn't have happened. Oh, the only reason things went well is because I. And when we, whether we're preachers or any other Christian in the church, if we get the attitude, if it wasn't for me, that is the Christian who is not, and I emphasize that word not, N-O-T, they are not in the position of spiritual. They lack the outward humility to restore others as well as the inward humility. He is plagued with self-esteem. Yes, plagued with self-esteem. Instead of esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward, speaking of Moses in Hebrews 11:26. But that should be true of us because it's written here in Hebrews 11:26. Often, you can see how money can change a young man's standards. They can even get down on those with whom they at one time stood. And yet, I've seen in Christian work where it might be a pastor, it might be a youth director, it might be a music man, it might be somebody else, and in a leadership position of church, who realizes, hey, I get money from this person. This person helps me a lot. So they'll overlook something with them, but someone else who may be giving them a hard time, as soon as that same thing appears in that other person, they put them down and they're ready to have that person ran out of town. You see, well, the person that's like that definitely is not spiritual and definitely is in need of revival. Now look at the rest of verse 4. He says there, not only to prove your own work, and then shall we have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. He says, and then. That is, after you have tested, after you have proved, then you'll have rejoicing. But it's in yourself alone, not in another. In other words, you're not putting it out there for, hey, look at me. No, that's not what it's about at all. Rejoicing has in it the Greek definition, in its Greek definition, the idea of glorying in an accomplishment. However, it's not referring, for example, to the glory that is due God. It's not the same Greek word. The Greek word doxa is used in referring to the glory that's due to God. And I can remember as a Greek student early in college that sometimes guys walk around and say, doxa, brother, because they learned that word meant glory. Well, that's not the idea of the word here. The idea of the Greek word here is the idea behind an accomplishment, some specific accomplishment. Maybe it could be a little boy that's watching daddy, and so finally daddy shows him how to do something. Maybe it's to change the oil in a car. Maybe it's something else that is mechanical or something of carpentry and shows him how to fix something. But even at that, it's not the idea of boasting, nor is it exalting oneself over another. You may paint a picture. You may wax a car. Build a picnic table. And after it's finished and it's a good job, you have a certain joy and satisfaction in the final product. But it's not over someone else. It's not holding, look what I did, to someone else to hold over their head to say, I'm better than you. You couldn't do that. But rather, it's one in which you have worked hard, you finished the job, and there's a satisfaction. That's the idea of the glory spoken here in verse 4. Rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You see, that's the idea that's going on here in this passage. And so we've got to be careful because sometimes we can get to a point where we have an unjustified, exalted, inflated estimate of ourselves. It's like a basketball team. Right at the buzzer, a man has hit the winning basket. And boy, they all jump around him, and they're all so happy. He's happy he made the basket, and the team is happy he made the basket. But they're actually rejoicing together. That man knows that even though he scored the winning basket, he couldn't have beat that team without the other four men out there playing on the floor with him. So they realize it was a team effort, and they are just rejoicing together in a victory. And that's what we do. We don't look to exalt ourselves. We see the team has won. We see our Lord has been exalted, and he has been uplifted. I think something that really illustrates this in a very morbid way goes back to my teenage years, and I just remember this man in our church who had been a mortician, and he retired from that job, and he had to leave the business. He wasn't so old that he couldn't do it anymore, but it was due to health, and he had to just leave it because of his health. But he told me, he says, you know, the chance to take someone in a horrible accident, a train accident or something of that nature, whose face particularly got messed up, he saw it as a challenge to fix it up so it would be presentable for a funeral, that it would actually look good. Now, it wasn't putting other morticians down. Rather, for him, it was a sense of accomplishment. You see, when he told me about it, he never mentioned other morticians or how much better he was than the others. He never said that. But rather, it was a sense of helping a family who would be seeing their loved one for the last time before they were buried.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on its firm.